for the hand clap. So, chapter one. How many of you have sat through chapter one of Rock Solid Faith? Other than Pastor Spencer and Kenny. You guys have? Awesome. Do you guys know there's a step two? And a step three? Okay, just, you know, I thought I'd just throw that out there real quick because, you know, I mean, I know he's a great teacher, but, you know, I mean, sometimes you might fall asleep. So tonight we're going to get started with Who's Your Daddy? Now, of course, when he wrote this and when he came up with this title, this was one of the biggest slogans out there. Who's your daddy? You remember that, you know? Okay, maybe not. So this is where we're talking about who is Father God? Who is God to us? And how do we understand his nature, his character, so that way we can better know his... Okay, so really, just to preface, this man right here, when I went through Bible college class, he would throw things during preaching class. Literally. It was forks, books, book bags, whatever was near him, he would pick up and he would throw at you. The whole concept here was while you're preaching, you want to make sure that you're not distracted. Now, here's the funny part. You guys ready? How many times does our pastor get distracted on a Sunday morning? We get people all over the congregation, and they'll say, "Preach it, Pastor." And he's like, "Yep, I'm going to do it."
That's not distraction. It's interaction.
Okay. So, anyway, this is his fun part. He likes to do this. So what we're going to get into here in chapter one is who's your daddy? We want you to go through this class with not just head knowledge only. We want you to understand his nature, his character, knowing his heart. Because, you know, honestly, I was raised in a church where it was religious, okay? And I'm not going to go through the number of things that I experienced, but, you know, we all have experienced some form of maybe some religiosity, and maybe not. But ultimately, what we have to know is that God is real. God is a father. He's an Abba father that loves us. And he wants us to know how he wants to respond to us. So our goal in studying these chapters is to glean full understanding of who your Father in heaven really is. You've heard it said God works in mysterious ways. Let me tell you something that is 100% correct. Am I right or wrong? I am wrong. I was testing the professor in the front row. It's not in the Bible. God doesn't work in mysterious ways. And that's one of the things is we hear that time and time again. But, you know, as pupils, as students of the Word, when we go into the world, what are we actually expressing? What are we saying to the people that are surrounding us? Are we actually agreeing with them? And honestly, one of the things that I don't personally like to do is I'm not much of a debater. Because honestly, I personally think, unless I feel led of the Spirit to debate, I don't want to waste my time trying to tell somebody something different when they're not going to, you know, change their mind. But if they're going to go against who my daddy is, if they're going to try to discount who he is, it's just like my father. If somebody were to say something about my earthly father, I'm like, you don't know him. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things is, as children of God, as kings and as priests, as daughters and as sons of God, we have got to know who our daddy is, because the world doesn't. So they're going to just say what they were going to say about it. And you know, we have to know what we know. That's why we're in this class. Amen? So God doesn't work in mysterious ways. It's not in the Bible. In John chapter 15, you're leaving now. Thank you. He's leaving. Pastor is leaving. So John chapter 15, verses 14 through 15, we're going to read two different versions of this. In the King James, it says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now I'm going to read the Message version of this, and it says, "You are my friends when you do these things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning." Stop for a second. The servant doesn't know what the master is thinking or planning. So the Bible says that all God's children know his. Come on. This is not a test. My children hear me and they know my voice. So if we know his voice, again, God is not this guy that's up there, you know, giving us quizzes. Anybody like to go to class, to school, and they have to take a pop quiz? I hated pop quizzes. Ryan, you are nuts. But here's the thing. I didn't like pop quizzes. God's not a guy that he's going to give us pop quizzes. He's not going to sit there and say, well, let's see if they get it wrong or if they get it right. Let's see how many wrong answers they get. Do you know what I'm saying? And we have to know that God's not like that. So he wants us to understand what the master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything. I've heard from the Father. You see, Jesus came to give us the truth. He came to spread and share with us exactly who the Father was and who he is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So here's the question that I want to pose to you tonight. And this is, again, just something that I like to do in evaluating myself and my personal walk is, do people see the Jesus in me when I'm out living my life? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves, because ultimately, if Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And ultimately, God wants to be able to live his life, his actual nature and character through us. Now, you guys are saying, well, you know, he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know what I've done. He doesn't know the makeup of who I am. Oh, he does. He made you. He created you. But he also knows that you're also a natural being. You have sin, or you have, you know, worldly soulish realm. You know, we're not perfect, right? Amen? Anybody here perfect? Nobody? Nobody's going to raise their hand? Ryan? I knew you were going to do it. So the Father desires you to know him. It's like a husband and wife that have been together for many years. The wife can look and, Ryan? Boom. Yeah. And the husband knows he is dead meat. Now, I've been married for I almost said next month. Whew. I'm glad she's not watching. Ooh, she is calling me, though. Hold on a second. Yes, honey. Oh, goody. Well, listen, I'm teaching Rock Solid Faith class, and you're interrupting me. Say hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, bye. I love you. What a coincidence. I was just talking about her. So, oh my gosh, this next week, we'll be married for 16 years. And the thing about this is, though, is, you know, when you get, there's that relationship. You have that back and forth. There's a knowing. But honestly, it's that same thing with the Father, is we know. And you know, again, we all have our personal experiences. You know. There's just something about it. It's like a knower. God's given us that sixth sense, and it's called in our spirit. When our spirit man is alive, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That means that we have a sixth sense. It's a knower. It's just, I know that I know that I know. And honestly, it's not like, you know, we need to sit there, did I do anything wrong? Like, there's some things that we don't realize that we're doing wrong, that we do wrong. But ultimately, if there is something that we're actively in sin, or something that's created that there's a separation between the Father and us, he's going to say it. And we're going to know that we've done something wrong. Right? So our desire is not to provide head knowledge only, but to enable you to know who your daddy is in heaven. And this is a very hard situation and scenario, because there are people, unfortunately, they don't have earthly fathers. Or they have been raised in a very violent home or abusive home, and their father did nothing but abuse, whether it's verbally, physically, mentally. You know, whether it's happened to us or it's happened to people around us, there's people, unfortunately, that have gone through this scenario where their experience of an actual father, earthly father, is a negative a very negative thing. And there's wounds that have been created in our souls, and therefore we need healing. But the first thing that we've got to identify is that the Father in heaven is not like that. Our Father in heaven is love. That's his nature. That's his character. He is love. And just because there's certain things that have taken place in our lives, one of the things that Jesus is so good at is rewriting the script. Amen? He's so good at rewriting what it is that we thought we weren't good enough, that he can actually change it and shift it to become greater. One of my favorite scripture verses, 1 Corinthians. Oh, man, I forgot it. 1 Corinthians chapter something. It says, you got to go with the flow, you know. What does it say? It says, for the God loves to use the foolishness of the world to shame the wise of the world. So it's amazing how God can take, you know, pastor talks about it like God makes a good scrambled eggs. You know, the funny thing is we look in the mirror and we don't see what God sees. We look in the mirror, we don't realize what God, you know, has put inside of us. And a lot of times what happens is our lives are dictated and determined by what's happened back there. But at the end of the day, when we say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, Father, I want to fulfill your plans and your purposes, what we've got to understand is that, again, first and foremost, it's his nature and his character that has to come out of us. And the more that we understand that he loves us, the more that we understand the things that he has designed for us, the more we're going to actually be accepting of ourselves. Amen? I get rambling when I teach, even on Wednesday mornings. Sometimes I don't give people enough time to ask questions. So please raise your hand if you do have a question. Yes? Does everyone understand? Okay. All right, so number one, here we are. Who is God? Who is God? The theological study of God in the definition is, here it is. We believe that the one true God has revealed himself as the eternally self-existent, self-revealed I am, and has further revealed himself as embodying the principles of relationship and association through the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 4, Mark 12, 29, Isaiah 43 and 10, 11, and then also Matthew 28, 19. So God is, when you're identifying God, who he is I am. That's pretty simple, right? So the key to understanding and knowing our Father in heaven is to study his names. Now, in America, the names do not hold the same importance. Do you know what I'm saying? So in Bible times, the actual names or the cultures of how they named people, they had meanings behind it. It's amazing when you go and study out scripture and you're reading stories, you know, even in the Old Testament, and certain things would take place, and then they just name a town based upon what's happened in it. But we've got to understand that the names in back then spoke differently than they do today. So names explain a person's nature and character, what they do or do not do. So what we're going to do is I'm not going to do it tonight, you know, I don't think. But ultimately, you're going to be taught by Pastor the names of God and see who he is. And this is what's really cool. So just as a preface to, in regards to the names of God, I am Dan. Or Daniel, if you really want to get, you know, technical. My name is Daniel. So number one, I am Daniel. So I am my own person, right? I am a husband, correct? I am a father, yes? I am a brother. I am a son. I'm an uncle. You know, you see what's happening? So ultimately, when we're talking about characteristics, what we've got to understand is there are different attributes to who God is. And so what we got to be mindful of is we can't just get so tunnel vision about God the Father that he's this way. One of the things I've been praying for recently and lately is basically, God, I want you to show not only me, but us as a whole, something greater than what we've ever experienced before of who you are. Because we could come through these doors, we could come into Rock Solid Faith class, or we can learn all the things of who God the Father is, but yet at the end of the day, we might have our own notion of, well, he's going to do this today, or he's going to do this today, or this is how he moves, and this and this and this and this. Is anybody with me? I want him to show himself in a way, and I'm not saying like, you know what, God, I'm bored with you now. I'm not saying that at all. But I want him to be able to show a different side, because that's the thing about it, is so dynamic. He is so infinite, we're so finite. He is so massive and we're so little. You know, when you get up into the air, anybody gone up in an airplane and flown before? Who hasn't flown in an airplane before? Sad. It's an experience it's just awesome. But when you get up into the sky and you're thousands and thousands and thousands of feet up in the air, you look down, what once was like so massive to you, right, is now so small. And you know, when you're up there and you get down, I remember, I think I was heading to Texas one time, and I looked down, and you know, I was really believing certain things and praying for certain things. And I really felt that the Lord just impressed upon me. He says, you look down. And I looked down and I saw the something that was so massive that really was so minute just from being up in the air. And that's really the concept that we've got to keep in mind when we're talking about the Lord. Is God the Father, he is I am. God the Father has a purpose and plan. And there is so much to him. There's names that we don't even know of. There's names that we don't know of. There's so many things and dynamics to his nature and his character that we haven't experienced yet. Amen? So, God is supernatural. You notice I'm going slow, right? God is not natural. He is not natural. He's supernatural. He's supernatural. This is one of the crazy things about the world that we live in, the people that don't understand and don't believe what we believe and what we follow, is he's a supernatural God. He's not natural. But see, unfortunately, there's a people out there that when they're thinking about the supernatural, they put confines on things. They start putting God in a box. Has anybody done that before? You put God in a box because you're controlling and constricting him because of the basic thing of he's even supernatural, but, you know, I don't know if he can do that. Or, you know, in our minds, we're thinking a certain way about who he is. But ultimately, we've got to break that out and allow him to do and be who he is. Amen? So God's supernatural. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. John chapter 4:24 says, God is sheer, being itself spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. That's the Message version. The New King James says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know, this is the amazing thing about God and worshiping him. And this is my challenge to everybody in here. This is my one and only opportunity that we have sometimes to be able to encourage people. And that's why we want more and more people to come out to Rock Solid Faith, because this is foundational. This is where you learn and get to understand. But when we come forward here on a Sunday morning and we're standing at the altar and we're lifting our hands or we're worshiping or we're sitting all the way in the back seat, where is our heart postured? Are we worshiping him because we have to? Or are we worshiping him because we want to? Is it because we have to? Well, I did my Sunday, you know, business today, and I went to church. You know, I sat in church for an hour and a half, you know, and I did raise my hand about half-mast and, you know, did a little, you know, wavy. And, you know, but ultimately what we have to understand is that we worship him in spirit and truth. And that's the thing that we have to know, is that he's just... Does everybody like to have answers for everything? We're human beings. We want to have the answers, right? We want answers for everything. Can I settle the playing field right now? You'll never have every single answer. You'll never have every answer. So if you never have every answer, can I ask you a question? Does that mean that you stop serving Jesus? No. There's always going to be more. And I know that I'm elaborating a little bit more, but I really need us to understand, you know, in getting to the place of where we have to understand God for who he is. He is supernatural. He is a spirit. He's not like us. We have to really seriously take our thinking brains and really kind of open up ourselves to understand who he is. Is anybody, there might have been situations in your life and God showed up and he did something crazy to where you're like, there's no other way that, you know, this could have ever happened but God. Amen? And you think to yourself, no, there is no other way. You sit there and evaluate how it could have actually gotten done, how it could have been accomplished, but you knew that only God could do it. Amen? Debts canceled. Cancers healed. Like, honestly, this is who God is. So the spirit does not have a physical body, as we know, but can show themselves in a physical body. Exodus chapter 33, 21 through 23 says, the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses got to see his booty. That's a joke. Okay, he didn't get to see his booty. Thank you. Thank you. A little late on that one. So if Moses, what would have happened if Moses actually saw his face? What would happen? He would die. But God the Father, the great I Am, allowed him to see just the back of him. Isn't that cool? I mean, just think about it. One of the things that I like to do, and I want to challenge everybody, and again, when I talk, I'm a pretty transparent person. I really like to, you know, be transparent, but also be life applicable. But one of the things that I like to do a lot of times is put myself in people's shoes. Try to put myself in that place at that time. Do you know what I'm saying? It's having an imagination. There she is! The interrupter. So when we understand God, we understand his presence. When we understand God and who he is, we know how he responds. And honestly, we don't need to sit back and go, well, just a coincidence. Yep, it just happened because. No, not at all. You see, God's not a God of coincidence. He's a God of purpose. He's an intentional God. He's not like, well, I just, you know, just it just so happened that, you know, it worked out for the better. No. Listen, we don't need to come up with these crazy, stupid concepts and try to figure out who God is and how he's working. He is who he is, and you know what? He loves us. He would never set you up for failure, ever. The only people that set us up for failure, number one is who? Ourselves. And number two, the enemy. But God will never do that. Does anybody have any questions? I mean, I know it's probably not, you know, question-oriented, but I want to make sure that I'm not just fleeing right through this. No? Man, I must be good. All right. So the nature of the Father, here's the next point. The nature of the Father. Your daddy is, here we go. Number one, your daddy is all-powerful. Your daddy is all-powerful. He's got strong arms. He is all powerful. Your Father in heaven is not weak like man, but being supernatural, above natural things of the earth, he can accomplish anything. I can do through Christ who gives me strength. There is nothing impossible if I only believe. And see, again, when we understand the nature and the character of our daddy, we're going to understand and realize how he operates, how he moves. Therefore, we don't have to doubt anymore. Therefore, we don't have to second guess him anymore. Are you really listening, Lord? Do you really know what's happening? You know, there's a lot happening right now. Are you here? Of course he is. I'm speaking like this because sometimes we just get kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else with me? Listen, I don't want to be the only crazy one in here. Just saying, I do not want to be, and I know that I'm not the only crazy one in here. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. I love the support. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 says, "And I heard as it were the voice of the great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." He is all powerful. All powerful. There's nothing. Listen, Lucifer wanted to be like God. But guess what? He's not all powerful. We have authority over him. Every single one of us in here do not have to shrink up. We don't have to curl up in a ball and get all fearful when the enemy tries to come against us. Because greater is he in us than he that's in the world. So if God is all powerful, that means that the Holy Spirit, who is who? He's God. That means he what? Lives inside of us. That means that we can do greater things. Amen? So the word omnipotent means that God is all powerful. Did anybody not know that in this room? Please don't be afraid to raise your hand. Thank you. We have one honest person in here. Glory to God. Thank you, Derek. I love you. So omnipotent, he's all powerful. The number two thing is your daddy is all knowing. He's all knowing. One of the crazy things is, you know, sometimes we just get, you know, going through the motions and we get busy with things and things overwhelm us. And, you know, sometimes we might forget that God really knows what we're thinking. Anybody with me? You know, and you're like, oh, he might be fooled. You know, maybe I've just, you know, kind of, you know. No, he is all knowing. There's nothing that we can hide from him. Nothing. And you know what? Thank God that he's a God of grace and mercy because, man, I'm telling you, I'd be hanging upside down for doing the things that I've done. Amen? So, upside down. Upside down. You know, like, you know, from my feet up top, you know? I wasn't sure if you knew what upside down. I'm just making sure we're good. All right, so he's all-knowing. There is nothing that your Father in heaven does not know or understand. He knows all secrets even before they are whispered. He knows all secrets before they're ever whispered. And you know, as we get to understand the nature and the character of our daddy, it actually can bring a peace to our spirit. It can bring a peace to us to know, number one, he already knows. Not only does he already know, he knows your end from your beginning. That means that he knows what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. He knows what's going to happen next year. He already knows what you're going to think tomorrow. How can that be? How is that even possible? Listen, I don't know because God is infinite. We walk by faith. Well, I don't believe in that. I don't really care. I don't. Listen, come to me any day. I'm sorry, I am spitting on some people over here. I'm getting excited. But one of the things is that people don't understand who God is. They don't understand that, you know, he cares about the small things. He knows everything. Why not share it with him? I mean, honestly, just being truthful, I've had some pretty outright discussions and conversations with my daddy. Am I alone? Listen, if we are, as children of God, so fearful to go to our Father who knows us better than we know ourselves, loves us better than anybody else, come on. He knows the answers that we need. He already knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. Why not put it out there in front of him? Why not talk about it? Here's the deal. Here's what happens. Unfortunately, as children of God, without this understanding and without this knowledge, as well as without the ability to step out and start to talk with him, what typically happens is when we're going through situations or scenarios and dealing with maybe people that we don't like, we gossip about it. We go and talk to other people rather than talk to our Lord. I'll let that set in for a second. And listen, nobody's perfect. I'm preaching to myself when I'm sitting here talking. Because ultimately, we all have fallen short. But thank God for grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. He's all-knowing. He knows your beginning and the end and all that is in between. Isn't that a relief? If we listen to him, we cannot fail. Now, don't go leaving here tonight, hearing this for the very first time, and say, you know, Lord, I really sense that I got to go play the lottery. Give me the numbers. But seriously, he cares about you. And you know what's really cool? You don't only just get to talk to him and be honest with him. He will actually respond to you. He will share with you exactly what the answers are or what you need to do in response to something or situations you're dealing with. By the way, the Bible does say to pray for your enemies. Amen. So, Psalm chapter 147, verses 4 and 5 says, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Acts 15:18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You know, what's really interesting is when we look at the scripture, we understand his methods. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. So sometimes we ask ourselves, why is this? Why is that? Why? How? What? The foundations here is when we know the nature and character of our daddy. It's again no different. If somebody came to me and said something about my father, now I'm not a physical violent person. My wife does that. So that's not me. But I will definitely share with them exactly how wrong they are. And you know, many of us in here in this room have had to endure slandering to our daddy in heaven. Many of us have had to endure that, whether it's family, friends, or just different people, because they don't believe what we believe. They don't follow the things that we follow. It is sad. It's extremely sad because they don't understand. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So it is unfortunate. We can't expect for people of the world that are, what, sinners. Sinners do what? Sinners do. But we are the light. We are the salt. And what we're to do is to express who he is so that way people come up to you and start saying, hey, what is it about you? I need to know. I want what you have. Anybody ever had somebody come up and say that to them? I want what you have. Isn't that an awesome thing? I love it. It's really cool. So your daddy, number three, is all present. He's all present. Yes, he's even hiding around the corners. He's behind the doors. He's up in the loft. He's in the drop ceiling. Don't go looking for him. I'm waiting to see who's looking up. He's all present. This means that your Father in heaven is not just up there and forgets about you because he is so busy or that he is just manipulating you like a puppet. He is there in every situation. When it gets quiet at night and nobody seems to be around, your daddy is present with you, waiting to talk, comfort, and to love you. He's there. Everybody experiences those times where you feel all alone. Everybody goes through it. And at some point in their life, every single person is going to feel that feeling of alone, loneliness. And also feel like as if God walked away from you or that he turned his back on you. Can I just reassure you if that is you and if you have that thought come up again? Because again, you're not alone. I've been there. There are some times that I feel like, man, I don't feel like you're there, God. But one of the things that we can be sure of and know that it's a promise is that he is always right there. Always right there. You don't ever have to question it. You don't ever have to wonder. He's right there. He's always with us. It doesn't matter what situation we're in or what, it doesn't matter. You can be in Hawaii, he's with you. I'd love to be in Hawaii, by the way. You know, you could be in England, he's with you. Timbuktu, you know, I heard that so many times when I was a kid, I didn't think it was a real place, but it really is. Anyway, he could be with you there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, in Scripture we see this time and time again. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Why does he say certain things so often? Why does he say things so often? Anybody want to? Because why? Because what? Drilling it in, pounding it in. He says things so often because so often we forget. So often we lose focus and we lose sight and busyness of life happens to us and then we get caught up and we don't really think he's there. But he's always there. He's always by our side. He's always supporting us. You know, it's amazing because, you know, the greatest way to understand who Daddy is and really the nature and character of him as a father was when I became an earthly father myself. And for fathers in here, you know what I'm talking about. The love that you have for your children, and even mothers, you understand this. The love that you have for your children and just, you always want to be there. Now, of course, as parents, we have to raise our children. You know, the Congdons, they just, you know, they just married off their daughter this past summer. She's grown up. She's matured. They've raised her. They have to allow her to start taking the next steps of maturation in her life, to start her own family and so on. But it's the same concept. Is like as we continue to grow and we advance and we mature, we graduate, God's always there. Even though they married their daughter off, are you still talking to her pretty much on a weekly basis, daily basis? And you still love her the same? You see, this is how God is. This is how the Father is. He's not like signing you off. And this goes back to, again, some people have unfortunately had to endure the sign-off. Some people have had to endure, you know, the abuse. And it isn't just physical. Verbal abuse is just as harsh as being physically beaten. It is. Because it sticks right here. And it's right here. That's not who our Daddy is. He wants us to know him for who he is. He wants us to understand him for who he is. And this is even though, again, I think I sat through the class at least four times over. And now I'm teaching it. I think I'm moving into my fifth or sixth time through. But I'm telling you, when we hit this chapter, It brings me back to that place of really knowing who Daddy is. Because, again, we get busy, right? Life happens. And then, it's not that you forget, but we need those reminders. We need to know who he is, what he's about. Because we cannot ever forget. Why did they, in the Old Testament, build monuments? Why? Why did they do it? To remember. Not only to remember, but to also teach the next generations. You see, our job is not only to just receive it for ourselves, but also to pass it on. To share it with other people. I'm going to use Richie real quick, and please forgive me. You can beat me up later if you want. Pastor probably, you know, pulls you out at least a few times throughout the year. But Richie, when I first met Richie, he was as raw could be. He was raw. And, you know, the fun part about it was, though, is that as raw as Richie was, he started coming to church here at in Rock Solid Faith. That's where he started. He didn't come to church first. He came to Rock Solid Faith. And, you know, it was really cool to see the transformation occur. And then there was one night in particular where he ended up in the hospital. And, you know, health reasons, situations, I get the call. I go to the hospital, and I stand at his bedside, and the man can't really talk a whole lot. Yeah. He could say, like out of 10 words, he could say one or two. It was just not, it wasn't happening. But I prayed over him. Within 45 minutes, I'm on the road, and I get the phone call. This guy here, you know what he's doing? He's praising God. Because he was completely and healed. He was healed. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. But the funny part was, he was, holy yes, holy yes, JC, I can't believe it. Holy yes, holy yes. Farmer, what are you going to do? Listen, we could talk like that because I grew up on a dairy farm myself, and it is what it is, but the cool part about it, though, is when he came and he got it and he got saved and he was transformed, I remember when he said to me, and this is a man that for how long did you tell your wife no? 50 years. He told his wife no a bunch of times and throughout, you know, the duration when she started coming here and she's coming to class and then finally started coming to class. But he got to the point where, you know what he said? He said, I don't understand why people don't want what God has for them. But it was the transformation that occurred. But see, that's the difference, is what are we expressing? And when we can show who God really is to the world around us, then we're going to have the raw people coming through. I mean, I love hearing those people say, well, the roof's going to cave in when I walk through. Man, I tell you what, that stinking, the building is just going to light up on fire if I come through those doors. I'm like, sure, okay, well, guess what? Look around the room. Because you know what? It would be burnt up like a few hundred times over, or 1,000, either way. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, and the Lord said, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Are you getting this? Are you getting the nature and the character of our daddy? Again, some of this is repetitive, but you know what? It's that thing. Got to get it in there. Got to get it in there. Because you know what? When Joshua, he was told, you're going to be the one taking the mantle and taking the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses told him, even before he was spoken to by God, Moses said to him, be of good courage. Right? And then God spoke to him and said, be of good courage. You're going to go in. And see, that's the thing that we've got to understand is if God says it, is it so or what? If it's in the Word of God, then that's, it's the Word of God. That's what we stand on. That's our foundation. Our foundation is the Word. Our foundation is His promises. And listen, He's never lied. Never once has He ever lied. I just taught a Bible college class this last term, and it was covenants, where I taught about covenants. And how God kept cutting covenants. He cut a covenant with Adam and Eve, the Edenic covenant. He cut a covenant with Abraham. He cut a covenant with Moses. He cut a covenant with David. You know what's amazing about covenants is they always were cut with a promise. If you obey, you're blessed. But if you disobey. So it's a constant thing. And see, you know, when you bring it all into perspective, you can really see how gracious and loving and caring God is. Even when God did this, because Israel said, well, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to serve other gods. When God did this, the moment that Israel finally repented, he finally says, okay, I'm going to come back in and help you now. You know, so even bringing it back into perspective again to where I, as an earthly father, you know, my kids don't always obey me. But you know what? I wouldn't change them for the world. And listen, anybody wants to touch my kids? I come out my skin. I will. But here's, okay. I'm going to end with this because we're almost done. No, we're not. Oh my gosh, I got 10 minutes. Wait, hold on. I know, here's what I got. I figured it out. I know why y'all are ahead of me. He's ahead of me. You want to know why? Because he teaches it till 8:30 at night. Because he can't stop talking. I can't because I got to catch up to you. Y'all are going to get out early tonight. All right, so here we are. Last one here. Your daddy does not change. Your daddy does not change. Your father in heaven doesn't change, but the way he has dealt with people has changed. Aren't you glad that we don't live in the Old Testament? Woo! Oh, my goodness gracious. We'd be like feetless, handless, maybe earless, noseless. I don't know. Eyeballless. I don't. Whatever. Pastor's words, we'd be fry daddies. So he doesn't change. His nature, his character has never changed, but he does not deal with us the same as we as the way he dealt with Moses and the children of Israel. Of course, we all say, amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, I just want to say, thank God he doesn't change his mind. As often as we human beings change our mind, Lord have mercy. If he changed his mind, man, it'd be a whirlwind. We would. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. And that's really the cool part, is understanding that the being that he doesn't change means that his word is his word. He said, my word is above my name, and my word will not return void. So if his word is above his name and his character and his nature is wrapped up in the word of God, we can be sure, confident, that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. You know, there's times in my life, and I'm sure it's happened with other people, where I'll just be praying and then I get the scripture come up in my spirit. And I'm like, what's that? And I got to go look it up. And you know what? Things that I'm praying for, things I'm dealing with, it's right there in the scripture. And I'm sure I wouldn't have found it on my own. But the Holy Spirit is always speaking those things. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to be praying for that. And again, this is foundations. And some of us are just starting to learn the process, just starting to learn how to read the Bible and understand who he is. But one of the things that we need to be praying for, we need to be praying for God, speak to me through your scripture. When I open up the Bible, and when we open up the Bible, how often should we read the Bible? Every day. Daily. Daily. And so when we open up the scriptures, we need to be asking the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to know today about you? What is it today that you want to teach me about who you are? He doesn't want us to walk around aimlessly and not really understanding who he is. Well, we got the Bible in our hands. That's a great thing. Well, having a Bible is nice, but unless we open it and we live it, it has no value. There's Bibles in homes that are receiving a great amount of dust. But Daddy in heaven didn't want us to put our Bibles on a shelf to receive dust. Amen? I got some Bibles. I don't know. I got so many different versions and different Bibles, but I have a Bible. I love this Bible. It was a Joyce Meyer. I got it at a Joyce Meyer convention, and it was an amplified version. The stinking thing started falling apart on me. You can always tell when somebody reads the Word when you know your Bible's falling apart. But if your pages are still sticking together, I'm not spanking anybody in here. Just know that. Listen, buddy, we know you got the app on your phone, but we need some paper to read, okay? Because you know what? We talk about underlining, color coordination as well, highlighting, okay? I'm done with you, okay? You're just super weird. Okay, so listen, we have real Bibles, Nathan, real Bibles, okay? Everybody with me? Who has a real Bible in here, not just a phone? If you need a Bible, I'll get you a Bible. Okay, so he doesn't change. So he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's all present, and he does not change. This is one of the things that we can be sure of. Okay? We can be sure. It's set, it's settled, it's sealed. There's no changing God. There's absolutely no changing him. There's changing us, though. Every single day. Every single day. You know what's really... what's really neat, though, is when I'm going to speak from, be transparent about myself. Before I got saved, and I've found this to happen. I'm not saying this is doctrinal and this is what happens all the time, and maybe you can attest to this, but so getting saved is a very good thing. Amen. But I realized that, you know, after I got saved and after I changed my life around to, you know, become more like him, and obviously we're still obviously always learning. The day we stop learning is the day we start. The day we stop learning is the day we start dying. The day we stop learning is the day we start dying. And if we were meant to just do certain things or get saved, then we'd already be, you know, we hear it all the time, we'd already be in heaven. What I'm saying is for me, when I gave my life to Christ and I started to, you know, see the changes in me and I thought differently, I talked differently, I realized I was actually the opposite in the world than who God really called me to be in his kingdom. So, you know, most people know me as like a loving person other than Nathan and maybe even Ryan. But people, you know, they know me as a loving person. Hi. And I'm very, like, I don't know, genuine, if you will. I'm just saying what people have told me. I'm not trying to, you know, pump myself up or anything. But what's amazing, though, is God's done that. My Father in heaven, that's his nature and character living out of me. And I have allowed him to do that. The sad part is, the before Christ in my life was the exact opposite. Selfish. I didn't care who you were. I wasn't really, if you weren't in a certain clique, I was not talking to you. I was a jerk. And I treated women like crap. I'm just being real with you. What I'm saying is, God's nature and character, when he gets a hold of you and he starts to transform your life, everything changes. You see differently, you speak differently, you live differently. But we've got to understand who he is. We have to know who he is inside of us. Because the more that we understand him, the more we live like him. The more we live like him, the more impact that you and I have. And that's really what we're here for. We're here to learn, but also to share the things that we've learned. You know, that's the cool part about teaching Rock Solid Faith. I'm still a student. I learn just as much by teaching this than I do by sitting in those seats. Isn't that cool? 757. Listen, I'm not going to waste my time going further. You want to know why? You're going to hear it all again next week. I promise you, that's just who he is. Are you, do you, did tonight help? And I mean, did you? Not that I'm looking for you to say, hey, yeah, I learned something new tonight. It was your first class? Amen. Congratulations. That's awesome. Does anybody have any questions? What's that? The 30th. It's on Friday. And don't prank me. So the real thing is, and as pastors, you know, we get it, but we have a different call. You know, you sitting in these seats, you're learning. You have a different call. You have a different purpose and plan and destiny on your life. But we're to portray our Father in heaven. We're to show the world who he is. Will they recognize our Daddy in heaven through you? That's a hard question. That's a really hard question. Because how do you talk? How do you walk? I'm not talking like with your pants down to your, you know. I'm not talking like, you know, do you walk with a limp? I'm not saying that. How do you live your life? So obviously the foundations of this chapter is learning who our Father is. And you're going to learn about who, like his names, more about his character and his personality. But in the first starters, we need to know foundationally, he's always there. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He knew Isaiah was going to walk through that door. And that's the cool part. We don't have to wonder. We just have to connect. When we connect to our Father, we can be assured that, you know what? We're set. We're sealed. And even when we feel like we're going to fail, come on. Our Daddy in heaven, we might fall, but he'll never keep us down. He will never allow us to stay on the ground. Do you know what I'm saying? So tonight, I want you to leave with this. And I'm not saying literally go get in your car and look in the mirror and, you know, look at yourself and ask these questions. But, I mean, you can if you want. It's up to you. Listen, I'm kind of weird, and I do look in the mirror sometimes and ask myself, or actually ask him certain questions like, what were you thinking? I'm being for real. I do that. Like, I'll stand in front of the mirror and be like, you were nuts when you made me. I'm just kidding. So, are you living the nature and the character of your Father, your Daddy in heaven? That's your question to ponder on the rest of this week. And the rest of your life, really. We should be emulating our Daddy. It's amazing. I emulate my earthly Father. The way that I raise my kids, the way that I love my kids, the way that I hold them, the stupid little, you know, weird things that I do. I remember hearing them, seeing them, and feeling them from my earthly dad. And now it's beginning to then duplicate, and the domino effect has occurred. And I'm 38 years old. My dad, he still gives me a kiss on the cheek with his whiskey stinking mustache. But let me tell you something. I love it. I love it. I don't know how hairy God is, but, you know, he might want to give you a kiss on the cheek. Don't think it's so weird. Sometimes we've got to take him out of the box or take ourselves out of the box and start to allow him to do what he's got to do in our lives. Is that good? I mean, I really could ramble on all night. And, yeah, I mean, you just came in. Like, really? Do we have a basket? Awesome. If you have offering, or maybe you didn't get a chance to tithe or give a seed on Sunday, Brother Ted is over here with a basket. As Pastor teaches you, don't come to the house of God without an offering. So he'll have that over here on your way out. Does anybody have any questions before we dismiss? All right, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your blessing will come upon us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your nature and your character, that you didn't hide who you were. You told us, you expressed who you are and who you want to be in our lives. So, Lord God, I pray that tonight, as we do look at ourselves, as we do evaluate our lives for what they are, that we were going to ask ourselves, are we really genuinely living you? Are we showing this world who you are? Lord, not to be perfect, because God, only one that was perfect was you, Jesus. So, but I pray, Holy Spirit, for a holy, heavy conviction to come upon us that we would know and understand who you are, but that, Father, we can live out who you are in your nature. So, Father, bless us and keep us. Lord, I pray for safe travels on our way back home. In the name of Jesus, surround us with your angels and keep us and cover us with your blood. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey guys, have a great night. I had fun.